It should be a sacred thing. And indeed, our food philosophy used to be closer to common sense in the past. My parents, already a generation closer to nature than mine, taught me that the best thing you could put in your body was something you washed the dirt off seconds before putting it in your mouth. But oh my, how things have changed. Today on Thinking with Somebody Else's Head, Controlling Our Food, I'm Richard Lloyd-Jones. You know, it should be a no-brainer. The food we eat should be the closest thing to natural we can get. The whole alimentation industry should be based on that premise. But it's a long way from it. Now we've got hormones to make the birds and cows grow faster and with more meat. We've got pesticides and chemical fertilizers to the point where it's advisable to peel the apples before eating to avoid the greatest concentrations of these toxic substances. We've got additives for this, enriched minerals for that. Our food is fortified and treated. We're surrounded by toxins and belly full of food whose nutritional value is highly suspect. There are many factors at play here. We've built enormous industries of chemicals that make substantial profits for huge corporations. The fact that many of them are based on tycoons wanting to find uses for their industrial waste is not well understood by us. In fact, the pharmaceutical industry was established on the waste products from the oil and coal industries, which is why Rockefeller and Carnegie were so keenly interested in Pasteur's germ theory. They figured if they could get that theory accepted in the top medical schools in the land, they'd have another almost endless source of profit. Heck, if every disease has a specific germ responsible for it, then you need a specific medicine for each germ, plus all the R&D industry to go along with it. So they commissioned Abraham Flexner to do an exhaustive analysis of the medical education system in Canada and the U.S., and his Flexner report changed totally how medicine was taught and perceived. Of course, the Carnegie and Rockefeller Foundations threw money at any medical research facility that focused on finding the germs responsible for a multitude of diseases, old and new. And if they could dedicate themselves to creating a drug, a pharmaceutical medicine that could be created with Rockefeller and Carnegie coal and oil waste, well, here's more money for you. And quickly, medical education began to change. That was Mr. Pasteur in action. He influenced all of that. But he caused a lot of damage in the food business, too. His introduction of paranoia into medicine led to the creation of artificial food, too. Plastic and chemical additives and processes that would ensure us that we never got infected with any of those evil little bacteria. Monsanto was created in 1901 with exactly that intention, and they haven't stopped infecting our lives with beastly products and practices since. All of this is well explained in Kepi's work of Analytical Trilogy. This is the science that shows us the cause of our problems within, not without. It's very valuable work to explore. It gives us a whole new perspective on Pasteur and, of course, the medical industry that arose around his erroneous theory. If you'd like more information on any of this, of course, I'm always available, rich@richjonesvoice.com. This Pasteurian craziness is at the basis of the Codex Alimentarius, too, a UN-led attempt to categorize and control all foodstuffs. And these categorizations give a lot of preference to treated and genetically modified food, sometimes over natural food, and it's very dangerous. Dr. Roberto Giraldo, medical doctor and infectious diseases specialist, joins me today to discuss this hot and important topic. Actually, you know, Giraldo, this is something I didn't know anything about. I was just looking at this Codex Alimentarius from the World Health Organization and the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations. Yeah, intergovernmental body, 170 member countries. Okay, all the details there. But I didn't know, and this has been in place a long time, since the 60s.
1963.
And I didn't know that there was these standards for food products around the world. They say to protect the health of consumers and to ensure fair practices in the food trade. That's their sort of mission statement on the website.
Yes.
But we have to read through that a lot. But I didn't know that there was this
I didn't neither, Richard. I knew many years ago, like 20 years ago, I used to know that those who control the food will have the power of the earth. I remember that, working with Colombia with some philosophers in the 80s, and we were checking in Chicago that there were a lot of organizations of food. The corn organizations, that is in Chicago, the rice organization.
All the commodities,
what?
Right?
Yeah.
Coffee.
And all this coffee, and all this, exactly, soya, and all the things. And I was always suspicious that why all of them were in the United States. Well, all of them were in the United States. And it is saying like the International Oil or the International Organization of Coffee, International Organization of Silver, International Organization of Gold. All the things that sometimes are like just commercial, but sometimes what is scary is when you see this organization about food. And this one specifically about the Indes Alimentarios, I think is very.
So let's talk about
crazy.
what they're doing here. Yeah, they want to control the products that will be sold. They want to tell you what the standard should be. What is this Codex Alimentarius doing? What is the premise of this?
Yes. What scares me is that it looks like if it were a good thing. The joint of the FAO, that is Food and Agricultural Organization, together with the World Health Organization. And in the mission, they say that they are doing that to protect the health of the humans.
Sure.
And you sound like it's true. However, all these organizations are agencies of UN. And when you know that UN was built by Rockefeller and all these groups, you start to be suspicious why you need to have a World Health Organization. Why you need to have a UNICEF to protect the children? Why you need to have a World Bank, that is the bank of the UN as well? Why you need to have that?
Right. And what are they doing? What is this? What is their purpose? What are they actually doing? Let's talk about what they want to do, and then we can analyze whether that's right or not.
I'm sure, Richard, that inside of them there are people who believe, who are honest, who are ethical, from different countries, because this is an organization with 183 countries, as practically all the countries of the UN are together. And I suppose there are some people there that are ethical from this country, and they believe in the mission, and they say, okay, let's go to try to get to protect the food. However, when you see the evolution of this organization, you see that in the 60s, for instance, still they were not genetically modified food, because the genetically modified food started recently. Or, yes, especially all these things regarding with DNA, RNA, is more recently. And you see the evolution of this organization. That at the beginning, they started to work about preservatives of food, and they were, perhaps at the beginning, they were trying to do something good. Huh? The amount of chemical that they will permit in the food, in the canned food, for instance, or in things like that. But what becomes to be very scary is when they started to decide the amount of known metals that are very poisonous for the body. The amount of metal that they allow to be in the meat, for instance, in the fish, of mercury, the amount of mercury that they allow, the amount of aluminum, the amount of magnesium, the amount of different kind of material that they allow. Because if they were really ethical, they shouldn't allow anything.
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing.
Zero.
Zero. Zero is the amount.
So what they're doing is they're setting the standards for what's allowable in terms of preservatives, these minerals from the outside.
Chemicals.
How much genetically modified food is permitted within?
What is the amount of agrochemicals that you can permit? What is the amount of pesticides and other herbicides that you permit to be in the food, in fruits, in vegetables?
And this is very scary because this can be totally influenced by the huge lobby groups of these chemical companies, drug companies. There's enormous lobbies,
and
these groups. What they say is that they're setting guidelines and standards to be used as a benchmark for regional national legislation and in World Trade Organization disputes, and that they have like all of these committees, and they're trying to set the standard for what is allowable in terms of food. Now,
exactly.
This sounds beautiful.
Sounds.
But of course, we know that because the interests of the pharma cartel are against the health interests of all humanity, the battle is pretty intense, that the cartel tries to force other industries to get behind its means of laws and things like that. So we know it's being influenced a lot. So in reality, it's not doing what they maybe set it up to do in the originally in the 1960s.
I think that is a good example, Richard, that has been going on in Europe, because I know them in the Greens. The Greens is a group of ecological people who work inside the European Parliament. And they are very scary about all the things. And for 10 years or so, they have been denouncing and speaking about this organization, this Indes Codex Alimentarius. Codex Alimentarius. How they were starting to worry, for instance, about the natural food, organic food. So there are a lot of stores and organizations that they produce supplements, what they call food supplements or vitamins, and things that are healthy, or just to produce teas, herb teas, like chamomile tea, like mint tea, or anise tea, different kind of teas that can be good for the health. So these people in Europe, the Greens of the European Parliament, they have been denouncing that these Codex Alimentarius are trying to stop that to happen.
Ah, but this is clear, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very clear.
They're changing the standards for what is a drug and what is not a drug.
Exactly. So this is ridiculous because, for instance, they are deciding that any natural product that has health properties is a drug. It's a drug. Incredible. And should be regulated by the World Health Organization. And for you to use it, you have to have a medical prescription. And they have a list. For instance, they speak about mint, about garlic, and things like that. And when we see this, Richard, sound ridiculous. And when people listens what we are talking, they could think, these people are ridiculous. These people are paranoid. This cannot be. How they are doing all these crazy things to kill human beings. However, I think we need to remind people the history of the humankind, how the history of the humankind has been filled up with cruelty for millennium. And we have to remember, for instance, in the times of the Romans, how they made the circus and they put the people through the animals.
Right.
And they were eaten by the animals. And I think they were not so cruel as we are nowadays. They are poisoning us, they are killing us slowly, little by little. And there is something else, Richard, that I wanted to mention in this way, because it's like a challenge to common sense. And what we are talking to now about what they are doing with the food reminds me stories during the Second World War, when some Jews and some people in Europe started to perceive that there was going on something with the crematory ovens and all the things that with the gas chambers to kill people. And some people say, are you crazy? It cannot be.
No,
this is impossible.
It would never happen.
And it would never happen. And many Jews and many other minorities, they helped to put their friends and their families in the trains because they were going to a better land, to a better place. And it's the same that is happening nowadays. I feel sorry, for instance, for people from Africa, from Asia, from poor countries who are members of this organization of the Codex Alimentarius. And they do not know that they are helping to heal their human mates.
And I think this is a very good point, because I know that people, especially in North America, where we have more allegedly free governments,
yes,
we would say, oh, but this could never happen here. We could never.
Never.
But watch what's happening, you know, because for one thing, we have to remember that the multinational corporations are dominating this whole discussion on the planet.
Undoubtedly, exactly.
Pharmaceutical, pesticide, chemical, biotechnology, industrial agriculture industries, these are enormous, largest industries on Earth, and their products are the most toxic. And they're also the most heavily subsidized on Earth. They get all sorts of government money to do their research and to develop their drugs and products. And they have the biggest lobbyists in the political world. So they're influencing totally. So let's not take that out of the picture.
And there is something else, Richard, especially with this that you are mentioning now, that some people could say that could never happen. But the problem is not that. The problem is that it's happening already. For instance, let me explain to you. Even in Brazil, and it's happening also in Europe and in Canada and in the United States. In Brazil, we have a very good example. Is that when you go here, in Brazil, we have two kind of pharmacies. The regular pharmacy where they say sale pharmaceutical product, and also a second group where they prepare natural medications. And that has been for 200 years here in Brazil. So when you want to have, for instance, beta-carotene or V-complex, that are vitamins that are without any side effect, and you want to have a V-complex 100 milligrams, and you ask these pharmacists to prepare, they cannot. They say, no, you need to have a doctor's prescription. However, you can buy any antibiotic, any hormones, any medication that you want. And the same is happening in Mexico, the same is happening in Brazil. And I know many Americans and Canadians who know that in Mexico they sell all this. So they go there, they buy, and they go to sell in the United States and in
Canada. Without a prescription.
Without a prescription. Just the medication from the pharmaceutical. But what I'm trying to explain is how it's much more difficult to buy natural things
of course.
Than to buy...
Sure. It's always amazed me how organic food, which is better for you, is so why we're not all growing it, and it's so expensive because they're talking about this large-scale, high-input stuff, which favors pesticides and big industrialized farming, these kinds of things.
And you see, Richard, how they are liberating now many regulations. For instance, 10 years ago, you were supposed to label the food and to put the levels of cholesterol or something, or the level of chemicals, aspartame, the level of different poisoning chemicals. Now they are liberating that.
Yeah.
Industrial, they don't need to put that anymore.
Yeah. Hidden ingredients.
Yes, exactly.
BHA, BHT, potassium bromate, aspartame.
Now people are going to poison themselves without knowing.
Sure, and they're also making like these food additives. Suddenly they're making them safe. They're deciding that they're safe now.
Yes, exactly.
And that's not based on science.
No,
that's not based on an economic decision.
Exactly.
We also have this increase of genetically modified food. Because the argument there is that world food requirements won't be met without implementing these genetically modified foods. And so they're getting that passed through into the system, too. And this is a terrible thing for us,
terrible,
isn't it?
Terrible. And I remember when you tried to discuss that with some people who work in the food chain, in the food industry, they said, you are so obsolete.
Yeah.
How you are thinking about
old-fashioned.
Old-fashioned.
Come on, you're like from the 1800s.
Yes, you are from... Yes.
Flat Earth Society.
Yes, exactly. How could you think about that? We are in the 21st century, and now we have genetically modified food.
Great technology.
Corn, better rice. And they do not know that this rice is not real rice. That the corn that we eat today is not real corn. And the wheat that we eat today is not real wheat. We have done some experiments these days, Richard, here in Brazil, just with these seeds from wheat, from corn, from rice, trying to do what we used to do when we were with beans, when we were children.
Bean sprouts?
Bean sprouts.
Yeah, they're trying to grow these bean sprouts from natural...
Yeah, from lentils and everything. And we are doing exactly the same. And even with products that are marketed that are organic. And we are seeing something very, very scary, Richard.
What's that?
They don't grow. They are dead. So the beans that we are eating, the lentils that we are eating, the corn that we are eating,
the rice,
soy is dead. Why? Because this organization, like the Codex Alimentarius, is forcing that the only food that we have to eat is irradiated food to avoid bacteria and fungus and parasites. This is using the mistake from Pasteur beliefs.
Now we're using the number one father of the lie on Dr. Kepi's list is Pasteur.
So they use those crazy ideas of Pasteur, trying to protect people, saying that people have to eat just irradiated food.
Because that's safer, right?
Because it's supposed to be safer. Yeah. This is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
And I think there is an intention behind all these things, because it shouldn't be that they do not know. Perhaps many people do not know that work with these organizations, but some of them, they should know that this is intentional, that they want to kill the people.
But look, Giraldo, yes. If we look at this, we're looking at corn. We see the natural corn, and we say, no, we need to make some modifications to that. It's obvious that if you're changing something from its natural state, you have an attitude that you are greater than a creator. It's like a megalomaniac idea from the beginning.
The theomania that Dr. Kepi says.
There's no way we can't know. You can't change anything natural and make it a better thing unless you have the idea that nature is imperfect.
This is ridiculous. Trying to do something better is that they create all these monsters. So they are not creating. They are discreating. They are destroying all the paradise in which we were created.
Yeah, and some of these genetically modified seeds, they're called terminator seeds, right? They grow one season and you have to buy new seeds. We're losing the natural genetic pool of these seeds. Why we have seed savers groups all over the world trying to preserve the original seeds. Why? Because we're losing the nature. Exactly. Because of our megalomania, our craziness, our search for profit, our search to be greater than God, we're creating monstrous products and
now,
foods.
Richard, going to something else, but that is related to this, to the food, is when you start to see that there are some industrials like IBM, like some other organization, who are trying to create chips with DNA chips, RNA chips, microchips in the nanotechnology to mark animals, to mark plants, and to mark humans.
Yeah.
And now there is an organization in Florida, which is trying to create this to put in vaccines. And also there are organizations in Germany, France, who are making the same.
They're not trying to do it. They have created this now.
They are created. And now they are trying to put them in corn, in rice, so that we are not even going to know. Because once we have these microchips inside us, they can control everything. They say that it's just to try to monitorize.
Yeah, to track the disease, to monitor the
epidemic, something like that. However, it's not like that.
No, of course not.
Is that once you have an antenna inside you, you can receive things.
Yeah.
Never human thought that we human beings will come to this level of cruelty.
What's our answer to this, Giraldo? We could talk a long time about all the stupid stuff that's going on. We're losing bees because they don't pollinate these genetically modified food.
Exactly.
We've got these food additives, pesticide residues, which are in everything. We've got this enormous increase in the amount of products that they say are not acceptable now because they don't meet the standards, including natural, healthy products. We have all sorts of crap going on in that way. Well, we could talk for hours about that. Let's try and talk about some solutions to that. How do we see this in Trilogy?
Yes,
your work
that,
with Dr. Kepi.
Yes, sure. I think that's a very good point, not only to show the problem, but to show solutions.
Yes.
Because something that is very sad is to see big organizations like churches who are helping this kind of organization. For instance, they are trying to say to the people that, yes, people need to eat only genetically modified food, and these churches trying to say that you need to vaccinate the kids, or the churches helping them to say you need to do the HIV tests because if you are infected with the HIV virus, you need to take the medications.
And we're going to give you the host in the sacrament. We're not going to put this directly into your mouth now because it might give germs. Well, soon the priest will be wearing gloves,
exactly,
right?
The surgical gloves. You remember, for instance, the Catholic Church, until recently, they used to do the salute at the end of the Mass. Now they stop it because you cannot touch each other. So they are helping all this craziness, all this organization in the craziness with vaccination, with medication, and all the things.
And to spread this disinformation all around the world.
So I think one of the things that we have to do, Richard, is exactly what you are doing with this broadcast, is to disseminate the information. People need to study this. We need to give them the website where we can read this one. For instance, the website for this Codex Alimentarius is very simple. It's www.codexalimentarius.
Okay, so let me just give that to you.
Yes.
www.codexalimentarius.net. .net.
Exactly.
Alimentarius, this would be the Latin term, so .net.
And people can go there and read by themselves that we that is not that we are so paranoid, that is real. Okay, this is one of the things that we need to do and to spread all this information. Some other thing is that we need to start making a network with all organizations on this planet that are thinking in the same way. And we need to be very flexible, very tolerant, and trying to do some work together. For instance, Dr. Claudia Pacheco, she has a great idea for next year. You know that in 1992, she created in France the Stop the Destruction of the World.
www.stop.org.br.
So, and next year in May, she's planning, and we are planning here in Brazil, to have a national Brazilian, but also with some international organization meeting, to discuss these issues. And in the same way, there are the Greens in Europe, different people who are worried about the frogs, about the seals, about the animals, about the plants.
About the food, about the seeds,
everywhere. And just trying to be together. If we cannot go to all the organizations, at least to have a webnet, all these organizations, because as times comes worse, we need to work closer and closer to shoulder with all these organizations. I know, for instance, Richard, many artists who they want to help, many artists. In United States, in Canada, there are even rock bands who wants to help. They want to help to save the planet. So we need to work with them, with these artists, with painters, with photographers, and to see if they can help.
And it's very important for people to understand as they're listening too that Dr. Kepi's science of analytical trilogy has many answers for some of these problems that are going on. Answers for new living arrangements, for new ways of doing business, for new ways of analyzing ourselves and society, seeing the root cause of the problem. It's very beautiful science that can help us a lot in this search that we're in, Geraldo.
Yes, and I didn't say the most important in the thing, Richard. What I think is the best, I think in trilogy we have the real vaccination for all the thing, and it's a spiritual vaccination. Because even now, we know that people who are more spiritual, more in the transcendence, more close to God, that they know that death is just something normal and that we are already eternal, that the energy is eternal, that we are part of the universe, our energy is part of the divine energy. When we really feel it with every single cell, this is a protection. Because I can see here, for instance, Richard, in people, in the blood test that we do in our clinic here, when we see that people who are closer to spirituality, the blood is less intoxicated. So that means that as higher the level of spirituality that you have, less the possibility to get it poisoned by all the things. Because you have your inner pharmacy who is going to help you to protect yourself. And if you have a good spirituality, that spirituality is going to be above many times of the microchips that they want to put inside you. So we don't need to be scared of these microchips, because the scalar energy that Dr. Kepi speaks from the times of Tesla, the essential energy is powerful. And the trilogical science is giving us all the tools to save the planet, to save the human beings, to save the animals, to save the plants, the fruits.
Nice to think about tools to improve things. This is really something that Norberto Kepi's science of analytical trilogy is addressing head on. It's exciting stuff. Rich@richjonesvoice.com is my email address if you'd like more. This is Thinking with Somebody Else's Head. I'm Richard Lloyd-Jones. Thanks for tuning in.